Well, I've got a confession to make this morning. I hear voices. Like in my head. Like all the time. Now, I don't know if I'm crazy. Maybe I'm losing my mind. Maybe I need to be institutionalized. I don't know. But before you judge me, let me add one thing. So do you. We all hear voices. Those voices are the messages that are in our brains that become thoughts, that become beliefs, that eventually become deeply held convictions. And they shape us, those voices and those thoughts. They shape how we think about ourselves. They shape how we react to life and to situations that we come across. In fact, you and I are in large part the product of the voices that we've heard and embraced in our lives. Whether you meant to or not. Some of those voices have been good voices, encouraging voices, but some have not. Some of these voices are voices from our deep, dark past. For some of us, the voices and the messages of those voices, the things that we repeat in our head, even subconsciously, come from our deep past. And for some of us, those are messages that maybe we would even label messages of abuse. I mean, some of us grew up in pretty rough homes or rough environments. And we heard condemning proclamations about our character. You will never amount to nothing. You are an idiot. You are worthless. Or some other words that were spoken to your heart, and eventually they became a theme that became your identity. For some, the voice actually wasn't a voice. It was silence. In those years when somebody should have been saying, I believe in you, and you can do this, and you are beautiful, and you are worthwhile, there just was nothing. Maybe dad was gone, whether he was physically gone or just emotionally gone. There were no words where there should have been words. There was no voice. And that is its own kind of pain. So there are voices. Author and counselor John Eldridge, one of my favorite writers, talks about, you know, when either it's a voice of abuse or a voice of silence, it comes to us as like arrows being shot into our heart, and that arrow has a message to it. Sometimes the message is simply what has been said, you're worthless. And we hear that and we own it and we become to believe that that's true. Or if the message is silence, then the message of that arrow that sticks into our heart is, I'm just not worth sticking around for. I must not have anything to offer. And that begins to shape our identity. And long after The people who spoke those messages are gone. The messages are still there in our hearts, still shaping us and influencing us. And I'm not saying that that negative picture is true of every single person, but boy, I have been around the block enough to know, and I know my own story, that it is true for a lot of us. And it has so shaped how we think and how we process life. Those voices in our heads, they become kind of a life script for us. Little side note, if that's true, for those of us who are here that are parents and grandparents, how are you speaking into the life of your children these days? Are you building them up? Are you speaking life into them? So that's one set of voices that I hear still. There's another set of voices that are kind of on the negative side of things. Not voices from our past, but voices, and we're all subject to this, voices from the world that we live in. I don't know if you are fully aware of it or not, but this world has an agenda, big time. It has a set of doctrines and beliefs that it holds, and it tries to impose upon us. And we live in a world, of course, as you, if you even are aware at all, awake at all, that's becoming increasingly anti-God, increasingly what we would call secular. And so we are being bombarded with voices from the world that says things like this. Let me just give you a few of the major doctrinal beliefs of the religion of the world these days. First of all, it's the what I call the autonomy of the individual. In other words, myself as an individual is what is most important. And I am my own God. See, in former times, what was most important was not myself as an individual, but it was the community. It was the people that I was part of. And I lived sacrificially for that larger group, but no more. The rule of the day is I'm number one. And I evaluate everything, not about how it affects the community, but how it affects me. Right? That's how we think. That's how the world thinks. And it gets in and it shapes us. And let me just tell you, that doctrine alone will kill the church. Right? I mean, you get a fellowship of people and that's how they think. Man, you're going to have division. You're going to have disunity. You're going to have no love going pouring forth. How about this one? The totalitarianism, that's a big word, of relativism. In other words, the rule for the day, let me put it in simple terms, there is no such thing as truth. There is no truth that applies across the board to everybody. Truth is relative, meaning you find your truth, whatever's true for you, and I find my truth. And they can be contradictory and they can be different because it doesn't matter because everybody finds their own truth. And there is no higher truth and there is no source of ultimate truth. And so truth becomes relative. And the only thing that cannot be absolute is that there are absolutes. And if anybody claims that there's an absolute, they are labeled an extremist and out of touch with reality. Since long ago, we've declared God in our world and in our culture to be dead. Along with his truth to be dead, we've become a society of a million gods. I'm a god, you're a god, you have your truth, I have my truth, and it has splintered society in a million different directions. Final voice of the world And this is actually legitimized by Scripture. Paul says, if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, then Christianity cannot be true, and God is not real. Then the answer is this: eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That sounds like a doctrine of the world. Listen, if there's no eternal life, if there's no God who loves us, if there's no God that one day we will answer to, then eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, just live for the moment. Live for yourself. Because that's all there is. And these voices, they shape us. Even us who at one level believe in God and believe in Jesus, we get bombarded and we get shaped by these other voices, and it affects us. So with all these voices screaming at us and demanding our attention, Jesus comes along with the most amazing illustration to show us what we need the most in this hour. How are we to tune out all these other voices from our past, from this world that hates God? How do we tune them out and hear some sanity for a change? Well, he gives an old illustration from the Bible times. Back in the Bible times, one of the main ways a person made a living was as a shepherd, right? And he had his sheep. Well, how they did it back in that day was that there would be a great big sheep pen that at night would hold the sheep. Now, the thing about this was, multiple people would keep all of their sheep and they would be all mixed together in a pen during the night. And then in the morning, the shepherds would come out, and each shepherd would call to his sheep, and they'd be all intermixed together in this big pen. But as soon as the sheep heard their shepherd's voice, they would come. And they would separate out and get to the right place. They didn't have to, you know, there was no organization to it. They didn't have to work at it. The sheep heard their shepherd's voice, and they came to their shepherd. And that's kind of the background for this beautiful illustration that is given to us in John chapter 10. So let me read the first part of this for what we're going to cover this morning to you. Jesus is talking. Let me give you a little more background. Something had just happened. A blind man had been healed by Jesus, and the Pharisees were upset again, and the blind man who had been healed by Jesus refused to be negative toward Jesus, and so the Pharisees basically kicked him out of the synagogue because they hated Jesus so much. And Jesus comes along and he says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters the gate, legitimately, the real gate, is the shepherd of his sheep. And the watchman, the guy who's been watching him for the night, opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But the sheep will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And so if I could just shoot right through it, Jesus is saying, you Pharisees that just kicked this guy out of the synagogue, you are the illegitimate shepherd. You're supposed to be the shepherd of these people, but you have blown it. I am, and he will go on to say later, we'll look at this next week, I am the good shepherd. And my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. A couple observations about this. Jesus says, I am the one legitimate shepherd of the sheep. And my sheep, he says, they hear my voice, they know my voice, they know I'm the one who saves them, they know I'm the one who speaks the truth, they know I'm the one who will love and protect them, they know my voice, and they follow me. You see, the shepherd of a flock, and you put your mind back into the most famous psalm of all, the 23rd Psalm. That's all about the shepherd and the sheep. See, a shepherd protects his flock. That's why they trust their shepherd, because he protects them. He protects them from savage animals and thieves and robbers. He's the good shepherd. He leads them to food and water. He leads me by the still waters. He comes after them when they get lost. You remember the parable of the 99 sheep, and the shepherd leaves to find the one that is lost, because he's a rescuing shepherd. He's gonna go after the one that gets lost. Jesus says, that's me. I'm the good shepherd. You see, folks, here's the image. I've been doing this series, We Are the Church, and every week we're hitting a different image that God gives us of who we are as the church. And this week, it's sheep. We're sheep. Now, I could say some pretty negative things about sheep, but let me just put it this way. Sheep are simple, and they are dependent, and they are defenseless by themselves. They have to have a shepherd to lead them, or they are in big, big trouble. And that's us. And that's why he uses this image of the sheep and his shepherd, and their shepherd. See, Jesus loves us, and he provides for us with his tender care. He protects us from an enemy. If you still believe in this kind of stuff, an enemy that wants to destroy us, called the devil, that prowls around like a roaring lion searching for a little sheep just to devour. He protects us. And against all of the voices, if I could go back to that for a minute, all of the voices of our past, all of the voices of the world, Jesus says, no. Listen to my voice and follow me. He who himself is the way and the truth and the life says, listen to my voice. Now, where do we hear the voice of Jesus? Where do we get that? Where do we find it? I mean, is it written down anywhere? Is it in a book? John just held up his Bible. Thank you, John. That's right. We have Jesus' words, alive, a living word in Scripture. Friends, let me just say this. This is our greatest need. I say this from time to time. We walk in here and we think, oh, I need this. If I just had that. This is our greatest need, sheep. We've got to hear the shepherd's voice. And he says a lot. Jesus didn't just say two or three little things. He didn't just address things that are, you know, spiritual and nothing else. Jesus had all kinds of things to say, and we need to hear his voice. So this morning, for just the next little bit, I'm going to just quote Jesus on some main issues. This isn't the totality of what Jesus had to say, but this is to whet your appetite and maybe to speak to a few issues in your life. First of all, and if you can follow along in your outline, we need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd in his call to salvation. For that is why he came in the first place, his call to salvation. You know this passage, John 3:16. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, the seeking Pharisee. And he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." He goes on to say, "For God did not send his Son Jesus into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. Not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So we know what we believe, right? We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came and he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. What is sin? It's just the bad stuff that we do that offends a holy God. And it has a result. When we sin against God, it causes us to be separated from God. And God sent his Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. He so loved the world. That's what it means, that he gave his Son. Gave him to do what? To die for our sins, to show his love. Now, I don't know if you caught it in this, but there is a call in John 3 for personal responsibility, for a personal response. Meaning, just because Jesus died for everybody doesn't mean everybody's going to go to heaven. Doesn't mean everybody is saved. It says, to those who believe in him, not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned. We have to have a personal response to Jesus. And I say this to church people too, because I grew up in the church and I tried to get right with God through working harder and doing more. And I still stood condemned because I had never personally accepted Jesus into my life. I had never personally received him and believed in him alone for my salvation. And it's possible that you could be a church-going person for decades and you're just going along with the flow. You're just going to church because you're comfortable there. You kind of grew up there and you do believe in God and you know Jesus had something to do with it all, but you have never come to the point where you realize and confess before God, yes, God, I am a sinner. And I am lost without you. And I see that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. And I personally put my faith, which is just my confidence, my trust, not in myself. The world says, trust yourself, believe in yourself. And God says, no, trust in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. And you will be saved. If you've never done that, I don't care if you've come to this church for 50 years, if you have never personally responded to God's invitation, put your faith in Jesus, friend, and be saved. It says in John 1:12, Jesus, yet to all who receive him, Christ, to those who believe in his name, meaning what he has done for us, God gave them the right to become children of God. The moment you believe, God adopts you. He writes up the adoption papers and he puts you in his family. You are a son and daughter of the living God through faith in Christ. That's the first voice you need to hear from the Good Shepherd. Believe in me, Jesus says, in what I did for you on the cross. Here's another one. Hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and his call to comfort for the weary. Anybody ever been weary? I'm tired. I'm beat up. I'm at the end of my rope. Life has kicked it out of me. Jesus comes along to the crowd. A lot of them have been, I mean, this is a Jewish crowd at this point in Matthew, and they have been under the oppression of the Roman government all of their lives. They've had property confiscated. They've been taxed. You think we're taxed? The Romans had the corner on that market. These people have been oppressed, and Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened by life, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, Jesus said. and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Following me, coming to me, finding your rest in me, Jesus says, I am the source that you need. A yoke, that's kind of an old term. A yoke is the wooden thing that they would put on ox. They would put, you know, two or three together to carry a heavy burden, a heavy load. When Jesus kind of uses again that word picture to say, my yoke is easy and light. It's not like the religion of the Pharisees again that says you gotta, you know, it's legalism and rules made up by men, and you always gotta feel guilty and behind and ashamed and condemned. Jesus says, no, in me there's life and forgiveness and hope and power. Spiritual power, emotional power, stability. Jesus' invitation. So some of you this morning, the voice you need to hear is Jesus saying, listen, my child, my son, my daughter, come to me. Seek me. Draw near to me and receive my comfort. How many need the comfort of Jesus today? Anybody need the comfort of Jesus? Man, I'm telling you, either Jesus is lying or this is true and this is available if we will come to him, seek him in prayer, spend some time in his presence, hear his voice, hear his invitation. Well, there's another voice, just a few more this morning if I could add. We need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and his call to discipleship. For those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior and we're kind of walking along the Christian life, he says in Matthew 6:24, there's a million verses I could have put here, but I just picked this one because it's short and sweet and to the point. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, if you want to be my follower, he must deny himself and take up his cross, and one translation says, daily, and follow me. For some of us this morning in our casual Christianity, it's time to get daily. For some of us, man, we're Sunday only Christians, and Jesus says, man, if you want to be my legit disciple, the way this works is every day, you got to pick up your cross, which is a reference because who's getting ready to go to the cross for us? Jesus. And so denying yourself basically just means, listen, I'm not going to live for myself every day. I'm not going to just get up and think, well, what's best for me and what do I want? And I'm just going to fulfill my needs. He says, deny yourself. Say, I'm going to live for Jesus today. I'm going to follow my shepherd today. That's discipleship, following Jesus every day. It means taking Jesus to work with you, into your relationships, in every area of life. Jesus says, be my disciple, follow me. And that's a good thing, right? I mean, you may have just heard that and thought, well, gosh, that sounds awful. His yoke is easy, friends. This is where life is found. Things will start working better if you will follow him in his ways and his words. Hear his voice. The next one, a couple more here. We need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and his call to serve others. Again, a lot of this is about I got to die to myself and put my focus on God and on others. Jesus was talking. He says, now that you see, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You know that. Remember that scene? He washes the disciples' feet in the upper room. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set example for you that you should do as I have done. Not meaning literally you have to wash everybody's feet, but you have to serve like I'm serving you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed if you look at your other brothers and sisters and the people in the world around you, and you find their needs and you serve them. Let me tell you a funny story. I've been reading about the history of the Idaville First Church of God. Teresa found a folder for me that had some old notes, and I've been just trying to learn a little bit about the history. Did you know that there was an event back in the early 1900s? You ready for this? And the church denomination just decided shortly before or something to embrace the doctrine of foot washing as part of one of the three ordinances that we hold to, baptism, Lord's Supper, and foot washing. It was such an oddity at the time that there was actually a service where 800 people from the community came to watch the people of the church wash each other's feet. People were outside the church building looking into the windows trying to think, what are those people doing? I bet that's the biggest service that this church has ever had. They arrested one guy because he was drunk. Not in the service, it was outside. Just so we're clear. Now, is that what Jesus is talking about here? No. It's not a bunch of people watching us wash each other's feet. It's about going and looking and being aware, having your eyes open for legitimate needs in your world. And say, God, I'm going to move toward that need and I'm going to minister there. Use me. And I'm not diminishing the ordinance of foot washing. It's a beautiful picture of God's service, and we do practice that in our Good Friday, in our Monday, Thursday services. But that's service. A couple more real quick. We need to hear God's voice of the Good Shepherd in His call to unity. Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17, just some more words of Jesus. You want to hear His voice? Here He says, my prayer is not for them alone, meaning the disciples that were present at that time. I pray for those who will believe future in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe you have sent me. That's a lot of words. What are you saying, Jesus? I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. If you're not clear yet, let's look at verse 23. I in them, you in me, God, may they be brought to complete unity. To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Friends, I officially became your pastor a couple weeks ago after being your interim for quite a long time. The church has gone through its years of highs, some wonderful years of productive ministry. The church has gone through its lows, some times of division. But I will say this with confidence. The level to which we can experience and work toward unity today and in the days ahead will be the main factor of how well we do in the future. It simply will be. If we can pull together around Jesus and His mission and His vision for the church, and if we can love one another sacrificially and the community, we have God's blessing. And the world will know. Notice the connection here. The unity of the church is what shows the world what Jesus is all about. Unity is the main part of our witness. That's why when there's disunity, people out there say, well, look at those people. They just fight all the time. I don't want anything. They're no different than us. Right? But when we have unity, when we sacrificially love each other, they're like, oh, that's different. I want to know what that's about. Oh, it's about Jesus. He helps us raise above all of our differences and all of that stuff. And that's the deal. So we need to hear Jesus' prayer on unity. And then finally, we need to hear His voice in his call to mission. Come to me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus loved these metaphors, right? All these word pictures. These guys are fishermen. He says, listen, it's great to fish for fish and all that kind of stuff, but I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to make you a group of people that actually reach other people. Catch them for me. Are you a fisher of men? Are you going to hear Jesus' voice say, I'm going to make you a fisher of men and women, of boys and girls that need to know Jesus? I use this phrase a lot, and I'll just kind of wind down with this. Invest and invite. We need to have an invest and invite culture around here, meaning that every single one of you, every single one of you ought to have a group of people that you are investing in spiritually that don't know the Lord. Right? Right now, I want you to think. Right now, before you leave this room, I would love it if you would write down two or three names of people. You don't have to show it to anybody. It can just be between you and God right now. But two or three people that you think, you know what? I need to invest in their life. I need to spend a little time with that person. I need to pray for them a little bit more because I want them to know Jesus and they just don't right now. I mean, is there anybody that even comes to your mind? Because that's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And let me say one other thing. This isn't about building up numbers. This is not about church growth. This is about you and I having a burden in our hearts for people that don't know Jesus yet. Loving them so much that we want them to know the salvation and the forgiveness and the new life that we've experienced in Christ. And so invite them to dinner. Hang out with them at the ball game. Take time over your work break to interact with them. Listen to them. Listen to what's going on in their life and then just share what Jesus has done for you as God gives you opportunity. So these are the things. Friends, there's voices all over, shouting in our ears, but there's one voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd that we need to hear and we need to listen and we need to follow Him. Amen? So let's be about that. I'm going to follow up next Sunday. Jesus has a little more to say about the Good Shepherd, and we're going to follow up with that next week. But pray with me. Father God, we love you because you first loved us. And we are sheep, Lord. We are dependent. We are lost without you. We are so easily following other voices because they're just screaming at us. They're just in us. But Lord, when we begin to hear your voice, the words that you say, we can begin to replace those old lies with the truth. We can begin to be your disciple and follow you day after day and find life. We can come to you and experience that release of that heavy burden and that weariness that we live with. And so God, we thank you for these powerful words. We thank you for your speaking voice that speaks to our hearts. May we be sheep that follow your voice today and this week and in the days ahead. Amen.